Welcome to Open House, the real estate and mortgage show on News Talk 580 CFRA. If you have any questions about mortgages or real estate, give us a call at 521-TALK. That's 521-8255.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Frank. How are we this morning?
Are listings for ARCs up, Paul?
Or what, sorry?
Are listings for ARCs up? I need an ARC. I need an ARC.
Noah's Ark.
Oh, yeah. I know. I'll tell you what, though. This is a perfect time if you're looking at homes to see if a home has any issues with foundation, any leaks or cracks or that. Because, oh my God, was it coming down last night and this morning?
You know what? I bet money that just about every home's basement is wet this morning, whether it's in good shape or not.
Wow, there's a lot of rain for sure. It's, like I said, this is a great way to tell if your basement is sound or not.
Yeah, it's been crazy. And a good week for Frank. Look at Frank. How happy can you be, with the Sens winning?
Yeah, you know what? I was nice. Sens beat the Leafs. Always a good week. And, I was lucky enough to make the trek down to Toronto on Wednesday night and went to see Canada beat Panama in the soccer, which was an unbelievable experience. So
yeah, I saw that. It looked good. The crowd looked crazy.
Well, it was crazy. That soccer's a different sport. When you watch soccer, I don't know if you've ever went when you were in England, Paul, if you ever got to a soccer game, but it's like we think hockey's passionate here, nothing compared to soccer.
Yeah, I went to a couple soccer games when I was living over in England, and it was crazy, man. Like, I had no voice by the time I was done.
Exactly what I felt on Thursday morning. Yeah. Nothing. I had nothing in the tank, so that's good. It's fun, though.
All right.
Canada's going to make the World Cup. That's going to be the best part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think Canada's going to qualify for the World Cup next year in Qatar, which will be exciting for Canadian fans, especially after the women won gold in soccer this year in the Olympics. Time for the Canadian men to step up, and I think they're doing just that.
Wow. Welcome to the soccer show, everybody.
Yeah. Goal!
You got it.
How was the week that was, Paul? Listings, what are we at, 5,000, 8,000 yet?
Oh, yeah, we're jacked up there. We're still under 2,000. Let me put my glasses on so I can see. We're still shy of 2,000. We're at 1,946. 503 of those are condos. Conditional solds are 219, but it's still the rental game. The rentals are almost 800 rentals on the market right now. And in Barrhaven, there's more rentals than there is homes for sale, which is absolutely nuts. There's about 30% more homes for sale in Orleans, Canada, and Barrhaven than there is rentals. Just 30% more, which is not a big number. But it was another flat week, to be honest with you. There was a drop in the new listings by week. The sold properties was pretty flat, and the average sale price was very flat as well. Residential increased, condo went down. So we're seeing it's a market that we've seen now for probably 3 months, or maybe even 4 months, where it's just been very flat, and it's almost like someone put a pin in the market. I think it was June; it was still hot. By July, we started to slow down. August, it just was flat, and that's what we're seeing right now. I mean, like I mentioned before, we've seen the average sale price go up $117,000 in the first 3 months of the year. In the last 3 months or 4 months, sorry, it's gone down $10,000. So we're still way up. We're way up compared to where we were at the end of at the end of 2020. But it's just, we're just flat right now. It's at least you took advantage of building that equity in your home with the increase in the average sale price, early on. But we've just seen a very flat market over the last 3-4 months.
You must be seeing a lot of people tapping into that equity, Frank.
No, we do. But you know what, Paul, just to finish on your thought, I mean, if at the beginning of the year we told people that their house would go up $100,000 this year, they'd be thrilled. So it's not, it's not all bad news. Just the last 3 months is the market has gone back to almost normal, it feels like. And I just think we got used to what it was in that first 4 or 5 months. And that was going to end at some point. I mean, we said it was going to end sooner rather than later, and it did. And now, I mean, it's fair. I mean, I think people that are listing their houses today that have to sell their houses still have to be happy. I mean, they're not going to get the craziness that they saw over the spring, but they're still going to get way more money than they would have had they sold their house on January 1st.
Well, put it in perspective here, Frank. Average sale price at January 1st, 2021 was $529. Right now, we're at $648. So we're still $120,000 over where we started the year, which is astronomical. It's just over the last 3-4 months, people are seeing a little bit of a drop in the market and they're panicking a little bit. But keep in mind, I mean, look what happened in the first 3 months. You have tons of equity in your home because of what happened. So don't panic. I mean, it's still a phenomenal time to sell, and it's actually a phenomenal time to be a buyer in the market as well. So it's a win-win for both.
Whatever happened to gradual changes in the market? It's like a tap goes on, a tap goes off. There's no slow up, no slow down. It's just instant. Whatever the changes are, they're instant now.
Well, you know what we're seeing? We're almost seeing like a Toronto market, you know, like Toronto jacks up and then goes down. It jacks up and goes down. Whereas in Ottawa, we've just seen a steady increase month after month and year after year. This is probably the first time in my career that I've seen, the market do what it did this year and just go absolutely crazy. I mean, Frank, you've been in the business for 72 years. So, I mean, like, you tell me, has it been like this in your 72 years?
No, I mean, from a mortgage standpoint, I mean, hey, let's call a spade a spade. I mean, not only, did you make equity, but your mortgage rates, if your mortgage renewed this year, is at historic lows. And, you know, you're able to lock in the twos this year. And 5 years ago, we were in the twos as well, anywhere between the mid to the high twos. So, you know, had I sat down with everyone 5 years ago and said, you know, over the next 10 years, your average rate's going to be in the mid twos or low twos, everybody would have been thrilled. And then on top of that, you say that your house will probably go up $250,000 to $300,000 in that 10-year period. That's another bonus. So, people are tapping into their equity now. If you've got debt, why wouldn't you? I mean, it's very inexpensive money. You're getting rid of, and some of the clients that I talked to this week are, you know, they're paying the penalty. They've got a year and a half left on their mortgage, and it's worth it for them to pay the penalty because of the savings that they're getting to offset it by paying off other debts that are significantly higher rates than what their new mortgage is going to be. Not to mention the fact that, you know, with bond markets creeping up a little bit over the last month and some of the lenders increasing their mortgage rates, they get to secure the rates now for the next 5 years and then not worry about it for 5 years and be debt free. So it makes a lot of sense.
Do you see the rates going up, Frank, anytime soon?
Yeah, I do. Actually, the bond market has been going up pretty steadily over the last month or so. We saw a couple of the big banks raise their rates quite significantly this week. But then other lenders the non-bank lenders have left their rates the way they are. So they're the choice right now. The big banks are just off the mark right now, and we'll see what happens. No different than oil companies. I mean, they're really taking advantage of consumers. I think banks are seeing that and maybe saying, hey, let's increase our markups a little bit and see what we can do here.
So as rates go up, your penalty comes down, correct?
Generally speaking, yes. But it all depends. Again, I mean, you got to keep in mind, if your mortgage is with a bank, it's the interest differential that you got based on the rate that you, the discount that you received when you initially got your mortgage. So, at the end of the day, it's the posted rates that really dictate what the penalties are. And, you know, the banks in their wisdom have not increased their posted rates. They've just increased their discounted rates. Their posted rates have remained stable. So, you know, the penalty calculation is still quite intrusive. If you've got 2, 3, or 4 years left in your mortgage and you tried to call your bank to find out what the penalty is, you'll be so disappointed at the number that they give you, and you will not be able to understand it. But at the end of the day, when you signed it, and you know, nobody at the bank explains how the penalty works, so you got sold kind of a bill of bad goods, you feel like, because it's not fair. It's not a fair calculation, but the banks have been able to do it. It's in their contract. Nobody reads the contract. So, but if you're with a non-bank lender, it's much more favorable because the non-bank lenders just compare terms to terms. So whatever their discounted rate is for the term remaining is what they use for interest rate differential. So much fairer comparison.
If you're in the last year of your mortgage, is it generally 3 months? Just 3 months
interest? It's either 3 months or interest rate differential, but now the interest rate differential is only for the time remaining on your mortgage. So if you've got 9 months remaining on your mortgage, they can't charge you. And, you know, if your interest rate differential is 2% and you owe $300,000, well, that's $6,000 for the year. If you only owe 9 months of it, well, then that's three quarters of it. Therefore, your penalty will be $4,500, which is still high. But what I would suggest to people, if you're in your last 9 months, what I would do is, you know, start the process now to get the mortgage renewed. And what you do is you can lock in a rate for 4 months. So what happens is if you can lock in today's rates for 4 months, now you've only got 5 months left at the time you're paying it off. And all of a sudden, instead of the penalty being $6,000, now it's below $3,000. So, that's a way to do it. And the other way to do it is if you've got money sitting in a home equity line of credit, available credit or money sitting in a savings account and you've got to pay the penalty, take advantage of your prepayment privilege so that you knock down the balance of the mortgage that they use to calculate the penalty, and therefore you get further ahead that way as well. And then you can just replace those funds once you do your refinance.
So somebody in the last year of their mortgage now, what would they be at interest rate-wise, which means they would have got their mortgage 4 years ago, 5 years ago?
Right? Probably high twos, low threes.
So is it worth blending, or is it going to be pretty much the same?
Well, the problem with the blending is most of the banks don't use their best rate to blend. So therefore, when you look at the blended rate, you scratch your head and say, wait a second. So now I'm going to be stuck with this rate for the next 5 years. And it might be 0.5% higher than just getting a brand new 5-year mortgage and paying the penalty. And when you do the math on the 0.5% for the entire 5-year period, you'll see that you're better off paying the penalty versus blending. But, you know, the banks do a really good job of, pushing the blend part, because all they do is they capitalize the penalty onto the mortgage. Where on the other hand, sometimes, you know, the bank will say you have to pay that out of pocket and people don't have it out of pocket. But the reality is that they should be able to refinance and not have to put out of pocket. It should be able to be added to the mortgage.
You know, for the amount you scratch your head, it's amazing you have any hair left.
I know. It's incredible. Especially at my age.
There's a lot of head scratching going on as far as the banks go. It always seems like, you know, nothing seems to make sense. And yet they're supposed to be so smart and good with numbers. Well, they're good with their numbers.
They are. Yeah. Look at their profits. Yeah. They're good with their numbers.
Yeah.
Yep.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Paul Rushforth and Frank Napolitano. Paul, is it my imagination or am I seeing more townhomes and condos on your website these days?
Oh, yeah. The listings we're starting to pick up quite a few listings. I mean, we've listed a lot of homes this year. The problem is they'd sell overnight, right? But now they're sitting a little bit longer. It's funny, one of my newer agents has been with me, you know, about a year and a half to almost 2 years. And he said, when we were going through this crazy market, he was like, oh my God, this is absolutely crazy. Buyers are so grumpy at me. And I said, well, don't worry. Sellers will be grumpy soon. You know, and that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing more grumpy sellers now because, you know, they're seeing homes in the start of the year that were lasting, you know, a couple of days on market, and they're selling for way over asking. And now it's, you know, as a realtor, we have to sharpen our skills and get much better at what we do. And our listing game is having to, you know, pick up drastically because we have to actually work really hard to get homes sold right now. And it's not just pricing it right. It's advertising it right, marketing it right, positioning it right, having the right strategy, the right, the right marketing plan. And it's making realtors really work right now, which is good. And I, you know, we're earning our money, which is what we need to do. So it's, the market has definitely shifted and we have a lot more listings on the market. Well, when I say we have a lot more, we're still under 2,000, but us personally, we're getting a lot more listings right now, a lot of townhomes, a lot of condos. And the reason is because those homes used to sell overnight. The townhomes and the condos would sell overnight. And now they're just taking a little bit longer to sell, especially in suburbia. And to be honest with you, especially in the East End, we're still almost double the amount of listings in the East End than we are in the West End. It's just more inventory in the East. I don't know what it is. I mean, maybe it's because, you know, Frank lives in the West, and so it's such a great area, you know. I'm not sure why, but we're just seeing a lot more inventory. It's funny. We're seeing way more inventory in the East, but way less rentals in the East. Way more rentals in the West, but less inventory in the West. So it's just
I would have guessed the opposite. Sure, isn't it usually opposite of that?
No, not usually. Usually the rentals in the East and the West are usually pretty, when I say East to West, I'm talking about, you know, Orleans, Kanata, Stittsville, Barhaven, those areas. Usually it's pretty even, to be honest with you. Usually we have way more homes for sale and way less rentals. Right now we're seeing, like I said, in Barhaven, there's more rentals than there are homes for sale. So usually in the East and the West, it's pretty similar when it comes to rentals and homes for sale. But for some reason right now, the East has way more homes for sale and way less rentals.
So how long are homes staying on the market these days?
Well, it all depends. I mean, we'll know as soon as the stats come out at the end of this month. But I mean, you know, if the average days on market was, you know, a couple of weeks before. And the reason it was a couple of weeks we were going through this crazy market is because people were holding back offers. That's why it was, you know, otherwise, really, if you would have looked at the day they accepted offers, days on market would have been like less than a day, you know, and now we're probably stretching into, you know, 30 days on market right now, which is back to where we usually are. It's back to a normal market. And, you know, some areas are sitting longer, some areas are flying off the shelf faster. And it's to be honest with you, the West and the South is selling faster than the East is.
Will there be a pre-Christmas crunch this year? people wanting to get in before Christmas?
You know what? I am predicting a little bit of a spike before Christmas starts. I don't know when it's going to be. And to be honest with you, I thought it probably would have started already. I would think over the next, you know, couple weeks, we might see a little bit of a spike now that things are starting to normalize. When I say normalize with COVID, I mean, we're starting to flatten out a little bit. The world's starting to get back to a little bit of normalcy. So I do hope that we see a little bit of a spike before Christmas comes when everything really slows down.
And where are we at for rates now, Frank? You said banks went up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're still looking at very, very low twos. The odd time you can get into the high ones when it comes to high ratio purchase. But, you know, you're still looking into the low to mid twos, depending on your circumstances. And again, I mean, for clients to call and say, what's your best 5-year rate? There's not a straight answer for it. Your circumstances will allow us to decide what that rate is that's out there. And the banks have a straight rate usually across the board. But even the banks now have started to give a better rate if it's a high ratio insured mortgage. So, you know, you're starting to see that the banks are doing what the non-bank lenders are, which the non-bank lenders, which again, many of them are funded by the big banks and they have favorable penalties, favorable prepayment privileges. They're well known. First National has been around for 32 years. MCAP's been around for north of 25 years. Again, these lenders have been around for a very, very long time. And, you know, customers say, who are they? Never heard of them. It doesn't matter that you've, you know, really from that perspective, it shouldn't matter. What you need to do is do your homework on them. You know, their portfolios are well over 100 billion, 150 billion. So therefore, they're solid. They've been around forever and they offer preferable rates. And why wouldn't you take advantage of it? Because that's really what should be important to you. But variable rates are starting to pick up steam, and only because with fixed rates going up, clients are looking at variable saying, well, now the prime has to go up that much more for me to catch up to where I'd sign up now for fixed mortgage. So why not take a variable now? I've got that much more of a difference between the fixed and the variable. So I'll take my chances with the variable.
Hey, let me ask you a question, guys. What percentage of first-time home buyers are getting a down payment from their parents? What percentage do you think it is? This is according to the Globe and Mail and CIBC.
It's about 30. Is it about 30%, something like that?
I would have guessed 25.
20%. I thought it was higher, to be honest with you. Yeah. But 20% of Canadians are getting help from their parents for first-time buyers, help from their parents.
And by help, do we mean just giving them money or guarantor or both?
Oh, they sent money. According to the article, it was giving them their down payment. Now, whether the first-time homebuyer came up with some money themselves, but most 20% of parents are actually helping their first-time homebuyers out right now, which I was actually shocked. With the way the average sale price has gone and what you need to get into a house, I thought it was probably going to be closer to 30-35%. So,
You know what? I bet it will be if you look over the next year. Now, with the amount of equity people have in their homes, I bet you're going to see that number go up.
Yeah.
Agreed. Totally agreed. And again, it's across the country, right, Paul? So, you know, Toronto, that number is likely higher. Where you look at the Maritimes and some of the other provinces, it's probably lower, and it averages out to that 20-25. But I'm with you. I thought, you know, that's why I said 25-30, because that's from my personal experience. That's what I see is about 25-30% of cases where either the parents are helping with gifts, or they're having to go on as guarantor and or co-signer. So.
But with such a low number, like 20% is a low number. With such a low number, you have to believe that Canadians are saving. You know, if there's 80% of first-time homebuyers who are getting the down payment themselves, Canadians are saving, which is awesome.
How would that compare to about 10 years ago, would you think? I bet it was a lot less than 20%.
Oh, well, yeah, probably would have been like minimal. Probably.
Keep in mind, about 10 years ago, maybe 12 years ago, we had the zero down 40-year ammo. You have to have a certain credit score.
Cash back.
The cash back. I mean, it's changed. I mean, we've really changed quite a bit. You know, again, I mean, for customers that have gone through a mortgage before and are going through it today, it's much more painful today when it comes to documentation, when it comes to some of the background checks that the lenders are doing. They're forced to do a lot more. Because, again, the government's got them on standby as far as they got to be very careful who they lend money to. They're trying to eliminate money laundering. They're trying to eliminate illegal activities. They're trying to eliminate people that don't file their tax returns or don't pay taxes. So they've got the banks really on alert to watch for those individuals and not lend them money when it comes to mortgages.
Why can't the government take care of that and leave the banks alone?
Well, I don't know. How do they do it? I mean, for us, I mean, we say the same thing when it comes to why are we looking at money laundering when the money's already in the bank account? Shouldn't the bank that received the money, shouldn't they be looking to see whether that money's laundered or not? Why are we having to do it as mortgage brokers and having to explain why there was a $12,000 deposit in a bank account 2.5 months ago, where if the money's been there for 2.5 months, shouldn't that bank have said, hey, where'd this money come from? But again, I mean, it's just another check mark that the government wants to make sure that money laundering is eliminated. But the truth is, and we've said it plenty of times, money launderers don't get mortgages. So why are we doing this? I mean, money launderers will launder their money and buy the house cash. They are not coming to see a bank or a mortgage broker to get a mortgage because there's no mortgage on there.
Is that true, Paul?
Yeah.
You buy them all, okay.
Are you accusing me? Jesus, Steve, this is a national program.
I just want to see if you're paying attention.
what's that program, Frank? Is that FinTrack for you guys? That's FinTrack for us. Yeah.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, we both get monitored on everything that we do. And again, maybe on the other side of the break, we'll talk about, and I know one of our loyal listeners, Mike Carchetto, sent us an email in reference to a news thing that CBC did. And again, you and I have always been on the same page. Listen, there's some bad real estate agents out there. There's some bad mortgage brokers out there. There's some bad policemen out there. There's some bad everything out there. No industry gets everybody that's on board. So,
well, except broadcasting. 521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back with Frank Napolitano and Paul Rushforth. Well, Paul, we've gone from an era of, yes, you could sell your own house, but you may not get as much as it's worth, to, boy, it's going to be real tough to sell your own house now, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. During the crazy months when everyone thought, I could just sell my own house. And the truth was, you probably could. It was just how much less are you going to get in your pocket? I mean, how much more over asking are we going to get compared to you trying to do it yourself as professionals? But there was people who were successful trying to do it. But like I said, how much money did they leave on the table? However, now you need a really full service, solid realtor to get this job done right now. It's a tougher market. You need someone with a concrete marketing plan, someone who knows what to do in order to position your house to get a lot of buyers through the door. And I always tell sellers, and their eyes pop out of their head, but I always say, my job is not to sell your house. My job is to market your house to bring as many buyers as possible through the door for the house to sell itself. And that's the truth. We're actually marketers, and you need someone who is a marketing machine in order to get tons of buyers through your door to get you top dollar.
And qualified buyers, right? That's
qualified buyers.
Because you're also screening as you go along, right, to make sure that people are not going to be wasting anyone's time.
Every single lead that comes into the company goes to my client development team. And they're on the phones from 9 in the morning till 9 at night and 9 to 5 on weekends. And their sole job is to convert and qualify leads for your property. So, we're not going to, show homes to people who aren't qualified, or at least we send them over to Frank before and then get them qualified, and then we'll show them homes. And one, we don't want to waste their time. We don't want to waste our time. We don't want to waste the seller's time, because it's a pain to sell your house. I mean, if you have to tidy your house, get it clean, smelling nice, to leave your house for an hour showing and find out that people aren't qualified, we still see some feedback from agents saying, yeah, clients really love the house. We're going to make sure that they get their financing over the next week or so. And I'm like, you showed the house before they had their pre-approval, before they could get the financing. You just wasted your time, and you wasted my seller's time, which is really, really frustrating, because my sellers put a lot of work into getting the house ready for that showing, only to find out that people aren't even positioned to buy it. So yeah, we make sure that everyone's qualified. And if we are showing somebody a house, they are definitely in the position to buy that house. And that's, so that way we're not wasting anybody's time.
It's the first step, isn't it, Frank, qualifying?
It's the most critical step, because I think, if you're looking to get a mortgage, I mean, if you're comparing your mortgage to rent, you're going to be off a little bit, because your rent doesn't, includes property taxes, includes potential maintenance. You buy a house and you own it. Property taxes on top usually of the mortgage payment. So you got to incorporate that into it. You've got to,
insurance.
Have some money set aside for maintenance unless you're buying a condo that, you know, is fairly new. So, you know, there's other costs involved, not to mention the closing costs, which, again, confuses a lot of people. You know, what are they responsible for and what other fees? And I think it's important to understand that before you start looking at properties, because last thing you want is to think that you have $50,000 as a down payment and that's enough for a down payment, only to realize that you actually need $58,000 and now you got to borrow the other $8,000 for your closing cost, which adds even more payments to your monthly, you know, your monthly budget. And all of a sudden, you know, it doesn't make a lot of financial sense for you, or at least you feel like, you know, you're stressed out because you didn't plan it properly. So I think it's important to meet with, you know, a mortgage broker, your bank, and ask as many questions as possible. And if they're not answering the questions, listen, getting pre-approved, and I know the banks love to advertise, we'll pre-approve you in 60 seconds. That's not a pre-approval. That's just, I can do that. Here, take your income, multiply it by 5.
Yep.
And if you have very little debt, that's how much you qualify for. There, we just did that in 10 seconds. No, that's not a pre-approval. This is the biggest debt you're ever going to have. The last thing you need is for surprises once you move into your house. You need to be absolutely on sound footing, knowing that exactly what your costs are going to be, and you're going to be comfortable, and you're going to be able to maintain a lifestyle that you want to and can.
Well, in my own experience, anything that takes 60 seconds is not very rewarding.
Oh, Steve. Oh, this is the wrong show.
I'm sorry.
What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah, it's real estate and mortgages, right? That's the first thing you do, though, eh, Paul? You get somebody in.
Yes.
What are you looking at? Do you qualify for it? Have you talked to a bank or have you talked to a mortgage broker? Those are the first questions, aren't they?
Well, there's two reasons we ask if they're pre-approved. One, we want to make sure that they can afford whatever we're showing them, so we're not wasting anyone's time. And two, we want to confirm they're getting the right rates. You know, there's so many times that I've asked somebody, are you pre-approved? Oh, absolutely. Oh, what's your rate? Oh, 2.69? Really? You know, like a lot of times we will actually say, that's not a good rate. I mean, we're not mortgage brokers, but we know the rates. And I think you need to either talk to Frank, talk to a mortgage broker, go back to who you're talking to and get a better rate than that. Because so those are the two reasons why we ask. Just, can you afford the property? Are we wasting anyone's time? And what are your rates? Can we try to save you some money at that end as well? And, but that is the number one question we ask, is if they're pre-approved. You have to.
I mean, how many people do you think are overpaying, Frank, in rate?
On the rates? Again, if you're not a negotiator and you go into your bank, I can tell you from my personal experience, when you work at the bank, you start off with a certain number. You've got more in your pocket if you need it. But if the client's happy with what you offer them at first, there's no requirement to give them a better rate. We're at the mortgage broker level. I mean, that's one of the things I like about being a mortgage broker, is that we have, you know, in general, I mean, we have anywhere between 15 to 20 lenders to choose from. And once we understand what the customer's needs are, we're able to pinpoint and break it down to maybe 4 or 5 lenders. And then from there, you know, if everything is equal, why wouldn't we go for the best rate if that's the case and get the customer the best rate? I mean, I wouldn't give the customer the best rate if it puts them at a disadvantage. And listen, there's a lot of those no-frills mortgages out there. And you really have to read the fine print, because if something were to happen where you got to break that mortgage early, you are really going to be disappointed at the penalty you have to pay, and you're going to be mad about it. But that's the price you pay for maybe getting 5 or 10 or 15 basis points less on your mortgage term, because what they're doing is they're basically locking you up for that entire 5-year period. Otherwise, it's going to cost you a pretty penny to get out. So, you know, I think mortgages are again, your biggest debt. And if anything, you really want to do your homework at what, you know, what your mortgage involves and what's important for you should prevail over a lower interest rate. If you have to pay slightly more and it costs you an extra $15 a month, but you got a lot more flexibility, then I think you should look at that seriously.
Because we're in the field, we know it. And Steve, because you're, you know, around brilliance every Saturday, you know it as well. But you'd be shocked at how many people, this is not their forte, this is not their field, and they don't know. They think you know, a 2.5 mortgage rate is a great rate. They think, oh, that's awesome.
Because they're coming off of 3.2, so they think this is awesome.
Yeah,
but so there's really 2.2 out there.
You asked Frank, you know, what percentage of people are overpaying. I would say, in my estimation, from just dealing with my team, I would say 50% of people that we ask what rate they're getting is higher than what they should have. I would say 50%, just from us asking that question.
Yeah, and if you're not the negotiating type, you definitely need to be talking to a mortgage broker, because that's all we do, is we negotiate on your behalf. But there are clients out there that are really good negotiators. And you know what? I mean, in those scenarios, you can really drill your, you potentially could drill your bank down to a lower rate. But again, you got to do your homework still and look at the terms of the mortgage. And what if something happens after, that you have to break it at the end of 2 years or 3 years? Now, was it worth saving 5 or 10 basis points? And now you're going to pay a penalty of $20,000 as opposed to had you done it with a mortgage broker who put you with a non-bank lender, the penalty would have been $4,000. All of a sudden, you're further behind instead of being further ahead.
I wish I was a better negotiator when it came to buying Frank breakfast. That's for sure. I seem to be stuck with the bill every week, you know?
Are the gaps
zero and zero? It's the same, Paul. Zero and zero. It's a good thing. So.
Are the gaps that big, like 4,000 compared to 20,000?
Absolutely. I mean, if you've got, you know, if you've got 3 years left on a mortgage and you're currently at 2.49, chances are that your bank gave you a 3% or 2.5% discount on the posted rates. While you got a $400,000 mortgage, that means you're paying 2.5% on $400,000 for the time remaining each year. So the penalty could easily be $20,000 or $30,000. With a non-bank lender, they would say, well, our three-year rate is 2.09 and you're at 2.39, so you got to pay 30 basis points difference on $400,000. All of a sudden, that's $4,000 in a three-year period. And the other side is between $20,000 and $30,000. So it's a massive difference. It really is.
So why doesn't everybody go to a non-bank lender?
Because they're pulled in. The banks spend a lot of money promoting themselves, advertising themselves. Wow. And it works. And again, I mean, their parents went to the bank, so now, you know, they get coached by their parents and they should go to a bank. And not to say, listen, we still do a lot of mortgages with banks too. But in many cases, if you look at a lot of our mortgages with banks, it's because the non-bank lenders are really good at just mortgages. I mean, you know, they're not into the home equity lines of credits yet. They're coming out with them, though. We'll start to see the non-bank lenders over the next year or two really transform into offering almost similar services like the big banks are. But, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of the non-bank stuff that we try to do is either variable or, you know, piggybacked on to a home equity line of credit. But if we're just doing a straight mortgage where, you know, it's strictly just the 5% down or 10% down, rarely is a mortgage broker going to a big bank for it. Most times we're going to a non-bank lender only because there are so many advantages to the consumers, not to mention the rate's slightly better, but everything else that goes with it is makes sense for the consumer.
Well, it's kind of nice having somebody in between looking out for those interests, like a broker instead of just a banker, you know.
Well, that's what a good mortgage broker is supposed to do. The good mortgage broker, and I've said to my clients, listen, I'm not here just now. Your house closes next week. I'm here a year from now, 2 years from now. You have any questions? You can either contact the lender, but if they're not getting back to you or not giving you the right answer, give me a call and I'll give you the right answer. And so,
how much does it cost to use you?
What's that?
How much does it cost to use you?
We get paid by the lenders, right? So, you know, hence, you know, why Paul says he has to buy breakfast, because we don't make, you know, mortgage brokers don't make as much as real estate agents do. No, but you know what? We get paid by the lenders, and, you know, for people to say, well, then if the lender's paying you, then it's got to be costing us more. And I will say, well, what's the difference between, you know, the bank is paying us as a mortgage broker because we're actually putting business on their books. So they're actually going to make money because they're not paying us if the mortgage doesn't fund. Well, they're paying a lot of branch staff and road reps the same thing. I mean, if they don't put business in, then it's a cost to them. So all they're doing is they're looking at the mortgage broker channel and saying that's secure income for us because we are only paying them once we actually get the business. And therefore, you know, we're making money on that business. So we're okay to share that some of that revenue. Where, you know, if you go to a branch, the branch employees are being paid, then sometimes they close deals, sometimes they don't. So the bank has a cost, even though they may not be bringing in money for them.
Is it well known that people don't have to pay you?
I think so. I think, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was different. You go see a mortgage broker when your bank declined you. But now that's changed tremendously. And I'd like to think that the show was part of it to educate consumers. And I think we did the same thing on the real estate side with Paul. It's just to educate consumers as to what, you know, what they should be looking for when it comes to buying their biggest ever, asset that they're ever going to have, which is their property. And to coincide with that, their biggest debt they're ever going to have, which is their mortgage. So, you know, I think it's well known. You know, there's still fees out there. There's still broker fees.
Yeah.
But broker fees are generally for alternate lending where you don't qualify through traditional methods. But even those, you know, I warn consumers. I say, listen, if you're, you know, if you get a quote for an alternate mortgage and you think the broker fee is too high, give me a call. I mean, tell me. And I can tell you, there's been circumstances where customers have called me and I've said, no way, that's way too high. I think you need to look at somebody else to do it for you.
Just before we go to the break, Paul, if Frank buys a house from you, does he get a free breakfast?
He gets a free breakfast if he doesn't buy a house from you. Week after week after week after week.
Hey, we're closing in on 2 years where you guys have saved a lot of money. I can't wait to see our next breakfast.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure I'll be buying, trust me.
521-TALK, 521-8255. We'll be right back.
We return to Open House, the Real Estate and Mortgage Show on News Talk 580 CFRA.
Welcome back. Paul Rushforth, Frank DiPolitano. Paul, are we seeing fewer detached homes being listed now and more townhomes and condos, or is it just my imagination?
No, it's just your imagination. We're seeing a bit of everything. Yeah. Well, you know what? You say that. When I'm doing some searches in areas, I'm like, oh, wow, there's quite a few homes on the market that I just searched detached. I'm like, ooh, there's not as many detached. So it's not you, Steve. I mean, but to be honest with you, it's such a fluid market. It could be this week, but not next week.
Does it go to affordability, though? That's what's moving.
Course.
That's what's moving in the market, right?
Yeah, of course. But you know what? We're seeing, we went through a period of 2021 for almost most of 2021 where everything was moving. Yeah. Large singles, small singles, townhomes, condos, country properties, acreage, high rises, like everything was moving. Didn't matter what you had. And we're still seeing that. It's just taking a little bit longer. Suburbia is like starting to slow down, country starting to slow down a little bit, which is normal. But I don't think I can pinpoint a segment that's either dead or not dead or booming or not booming. I think everything is just very similar to the way it was in the start of 2021, just a lot slower. So we're still seeing a shift out to the outskirts. It's going to be very interesting when the world opens up even more. I mean, we're already seeing, going to the Sens game the other night, it was unbelievable to see fans in the stands and it was just awesome. So when the world starts to open up even more, you might see some employers that were like, no, I don't care if you guys come back to work. Maybe reverse that and say, you know what? Productivity might be down a little bit. I want people to come back to work. And we might see people who have bought the outskirts because they can work from home potentially, I don't know, but potentially selling those properties and moving back to the core again, to get closer to work. But it all depends. I mean, it depends what employers are going to do. I know with my company right now, I still have a few that are working from home, which eventually is going to end. I will have everyone back at the office. Will I be a little bit more flexible? Absolutely. But I still, productivity-wise, I think is better at the office than it is at home. There's just too many distractions at home. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, but when you're a real estate agent, you're working 24 hours a day anyway.
There's days there's some of my realtors I haven't seen in eons, and that's normal. Like it's absolutely normal because they're always on the road, and if they're in the office, it's basically to print some stuff off or to do a little bit of homework, or they're in the area and they just wanted a place to sit down for a while. But it's my staff that I'm talking about. So the people working for me in the sort of admin roles and inside sales roles and that, a lot of them have already come back to the office, and eventually they're all going to be coming back to the office.
Yeah, your office must be full up too, Frank.
Well, we've got our we've got a double vaccination rule in our office, protect everyone. Our staff, really, with the exception of the odd few weeks here and there during the shutdowns, have been in the office. We have opened up work from home, and I think our staff are extremely happy with that, especially the ones that have kids and older parents that they're looking after. It's been nice for them. Traffic is back, though. I mean, I can tell you the last few weeks that I've been traveling, the traffic is definitely back. It's not back to where it was pre-pandemic, but it's certainly not. You're not getting anywhere across the city without stopping here and there, especially on the Queensway with some of the construction they're doing. But
are you guys asking for proof of vaccination for clients coming in?
We are.
Yeah.
Paul?
We're not asking for proof of vaccination right now. I'm not sure where we're going to go with that. We do ask, obviously, the COVID questions. We have to do that. We keep a log and all that, but we're not asking as of right now for proof of double vaccination. But who knows? It's hard to know where we're going to go, right? It's hard to know what's going to happen.
Yeah. And eventually we're at 82% in Ottawa. So again, the risk is downgraded tremendously right now. We're doing it, but at the end of the day, I mean, we've also learned that we can do business without having to be face-to-face. So e-signatures, which realtors have been using for years. For us, we just started when the pandemic started. The lenders just started accepting them when the pandemic, and that's not going away anytime soon. Most of the lenders that are based in Toronto still have their staff working from home and likely not going back until the spring, maybe January. A couple of them have said potentially in January, but realistically, it'll be the spring for most of them. So, you know, I think over the next 4 or 5 months, as we get more people maybe vaccinated and maybe a third booster shot, and this actually becomes something in our rear view mirrors when we get back to a normal life starting in the spring.
Truthfully, Frank, COVID's not going anywhere. We just have to learn to live with it, right? Like, it's not going to disappear completely. We just have to learn to live with it. It's like, you know, and that's it. I think as a society, not just in Ottawa, in Canada, around the world, I think have done a very, very good job thriving during this terrible period. And I know obviously, because we know Ottawa, I could speak about Ottawa and obviously in the real estate industry. I think realtors have done a phenomenal job of conducting business through this pandemic. I mean, we found as realtors, we found creative ways to show houses. We found creative ways to do open houses, even though open houses were closed down for quite a while. But even now, open houses are open. We just have to find creative ways to do open houses. You know, we've been dealing with consumers since day one of this pandemic, minus a few months here and there. And I think as an industry, we've done a phenomenal job navigating through this terrible time.
Well, you can buy a house without leaving your own home between e-signatures with real estate agents and now banks and mortgage brokers. You don't have to go anywhere.
We've done
even lawyers
now, but we've sold a number of homes, especially at the height of the pandemic. When, I mean, don't get me wrong, we're still in the height of the pandemic, but I'm talking about when it was brand new and no one knew what was going on. No vaccines, and we sold a lot of homes just through what I have in my hand here, my cell phone. Yeah. You know, just doing walkthroughs and a lot of my coaching program at the time, a lot of the conferences, the seminars, the coaching calls we were doing was teaching us more about some of the technologies we could use to sell properties. And I think because of that, as an industry, we thrived. Like our industry just thrived on and our technical skills now are through the roof.
Yeah, I think it's made it better all the way around.
It's made it way better. You know, like it's made it, like we're doing things now that if the pandemic didn't happen, we probably wouldn't be doing. And it advanced our industry big time, as well as the mortgage industry and the lawyer industry. And in fact, I'll probably go venture to say it improved a lot of industries, having to adapt and pivot through this pandemic. I think is probably made a lot of industries absolutely thrive.
Birthdays, Frank.
Oh, well, let's start off with one that's just on the cusp of collecting old age security. And that's you, Steve. Happy birthday to you, Steve.
How old tomorrow, Steve? How old are you?
63.
Just on the cusp. You're almost there to collecting OAS. So,
and I want to thank Frank. Actually, Frank did talk to Bell Media. They will be fixing that elevator for you, Steve, to get you up to the studio, okay? Because I know it hasn't been working for years.
How do they stop my drooling?
That way you don't have to take the stairs anymore.
That's right. Happy birthday to my brother-in-law, who's a big listener, Tony V, celebrating his birthday this week, and my sister-in-law, who used to be on CFRA, Pina, celebrating her birthday today. And then a good friend of mine, Brian Mason, his parents, Mary and Dave, are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary tomorrow. So happy anniversary to them.
Excellent.
It's amazing how Frank remembers all this stuff, huh?
Yeah, my cousin's cousin's best friend's aunt also.
Have a great week, gentlemen.
Have a great week,
Have
everyone.
Have a great week, everyone. And please continue to support local businesses and charities.